We're talking about new beginnings and new transitions. And so there was a slide I saw up there on the screen, and it had one of these little pieces of white paper in it. Have you guys seen these? Being it is that I'm the new guy, I would appreciate it. And I know that the folks who are getting together, that we're getting together now on Sunday night and praying, I would hope that you would allow me to pray for you and for my family to allow us to pray for you as well. So, what's up, girl? So, please take a moment and fill this stuff out to help me get to know you and help me get to know a little bit about you and your family and your prayer requests and everything. So, if you would, please fill one of those out and drop it off in the offering plate or something. Matter of fact, give it to Tony. Just give it to Tony. A few short weeks ago, you guys had us up here to visit with you. Can I tell you how awesome that was? I'm in my own transition, by the way. I'm actually using a tablet today. Y'all pray for me. Old school paper guy, now I'm moving into the 21st century. But a few short weeks ago, you asked me to come up, and we talked, and you asked me a bunch of questions, and you still voted to have me come be your preacher. It might have seemed like such a simple thing to do. But from a biblical perspective, you see, as I said earlier, God has been preparing me my whole life to stand up here today before you as your pastor. When you think about that, all the trials, all the temptations, all the suffering, the serving under pastors and ministries in Seattle and Memphis and Florida and South Carolina, all of that came together for me to be right here right now. That's pretty amazing just in itself, right? But let me give you a little bit more of a perspective. You guys have been in transition too, right? You had a search team together, and you called them together, and you asked them to pray, and you asked them to search, and you asked them to interview. And of all the people that they could have called, oh, you got me. Let me give you a little bit more perspective about this. Every year, there's about 500,000 pastors in the United States of America. That's a lot. Out of the 500,000, there's about 1,300 that leave the church every month. Some retire, some change jobs, some change churches, some go for a different career. So when you think about this in a grand scheme, out of a potential of about 25,000 people, you got me. That's pretty dang impressive. That's how God works. You see, God has joined us together in a holy union. He has called us together to do the work to fulfill the church's mission. Through prayer, I'll listen to what God wants to do with this church, and I will share that with you. And by your vote, you have agreed that we'll follow God together. When we understand, and then here's the hard part, when we don't. That's the hard part, is following God when we don't understand, but we step out in faith. Because see, there's times like that we have to trust God that he has joined us together for a special purpose, a special mission. Hey, Sid, what's up? Because I believe with all my heart that we can trust in the relationship that God is building with all of us together. I believe this. I have a word for that. It's called transition. That's what we're entering into. The word transition. Brother Matt's been up here preaching a few times, and he's been talking about transition. He's been talking about taking from one thing and moving from one place or one activity to another place or another activity. You see, it's like when we go from lukewarm to hot, or from talking to talk to walking to walk, right? From passive to active, or in the case of Jesus, from death to life. Amen. Today, we're going to kick off a series in Joshua called New Beginnings. You guys ever heard Joshua? It's kind of up in the front. If you like five books of Moses and then you go to Joshua, that's where that is. It's like in the thin part of the front up here. So if you guys want to track with me today, if you want to use your scriptures, there's a Pew Bible, you can use it in your app. And for those who are joining us online today, man, I am so grateful you're here. So let's give this little background story a minute. You guys know your story about Joshua, right? Joshua had been part of Moses' inner circle. And they had come out of Egypt, and they had walked up to the promised land. And Moses had taken 12 folks, and he said, go check it out. 10 of them come back and say, nope. Nope, the people are big. They're going to kill us. We can't do it. It's all beautiful and everything, and it's just as God described it. But we have absolutely no chance of possessing that land. Then you got these two cats over here on the other side, Joshua and Caleb. They're like, heck yeah, let's go get it. God said we can have it. Let's go get it. But their cities are so big and their walls are so high, you could drive a chariot on top of them. So they all voted, and they decided to go on walkabout for 40 years. From out of Africa. You see, the folks decided to follow the pack. They listened to the majority instead of listening to God. And where did that get them? Wandering aimlessly. A 12-mile journey taking 40 years. You see, this deliverance from Israel and Egypt, right? That we all know that it's a picture of salvation. We know this. It's about being taken from slavery into freedom. So much like our Christian life. So much like our Christian life. Being in bondage and being set free. You see, we have the sin that we have in our life. We try to master it. We think that we can overcome it. And sin ends up taking us farther than we want to go. And it costs us way more than we want to pay. And how does that all start? It all starts with the word, but. I trust God, but. I trust God that he said that we can have that land, but. So, do you know Jesus? You're saved, yes. But, are we living in victory? Are we living in the victory that God promises us? But. I mean, we all know folks who aren't maturing, right? They're coasting through life. They got their fire insurance policy, right? That's what was going on with the Israelites, man, for 40 years, man. For 40 years, it took the rebellious generation to die off before they were allowed to enter into Canaan, the promised land. And that's where we're going to pick up our story. So will you pray with me? Father, oh, Lord, you are merciful and gracious, and your steadfast love. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the love that was sacrificed on the cross at Calvary for our salvation. And Lord, we are thankful for the saints that have gathered with us today, for those who are with us in spirit, and for those who have gone before us, but yet surround us as a great cloud of witnesses. Lord, we thank you for the forgiveness of sin and the forgiveness of our debts and our trespasses. Lord, today we begin a new day. Begin a new day for your church and for ourselves. And so, Lord, we ask your hand of blessing to be upon us. And we ask for your wisdom and for your guidance. For you, Lord, are a lamp unto our feet. So, Lord, we ask that you search us for any barriers, Lord, that come between us and your truth. And so that your words come alive for us today. So that we may fulfill your will, Lord, that you may be glorified. All this we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, hey, Joshua chapter 1, we're going to be in verses 1 through 5. I am going to skip verse 4 because you don't need a geography lesson for today. So, here we go. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land that I am about to give you to the Israelites. Excuse me. I will give you every place you set foot as I promised Moses. And verse 5 says, and no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Man, is that not just a promise of hope? Is that not just a promise of hope? So today, we're going to kind of look at this and we're going to try to apply it to our church, but we're also going to try to apply it to our individual lives. So we're going to talk about three things. Y'all like 3 points? Huh? I can make them 5. They last longer. Would y'all, you got 3 or 2? As long as I get you to the food table, right? Good enough. All right, so three things we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about remembering the past but not living in it. We're going to talk about preparations and how we prepare ourselves. And finally, we're going to talk about going without fear. So let's get into this. Remember the past, but don't live in it. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land that I'm about to give you to the Israelites. Moses, man, Moses had been with them for like, what, 1,000 years. He had brought them out of Egypt, led them around, made all the decisions for them. And now, all of a sudden, he was gone. At the time of this writing, it had only been about 30 days. Now it was time for God's new shepherd to lead the people. There was this new guy all of a sudden, and the people were expected to follow the new guy into places that they had never been before. What's it going to be like? Is he going to change a bunch of things? How is he going to be different from Moses? Mark was here for ever, and many of you loved him. And he's not here right now. And so maybe you're looking at me right now and you're thinking, great, we got a new guy. He's gonna come in here and change everything. What's he gonna be like? How's he gonna lead us? Where's he gonna lead us to? Jesus had 12 guys. Let's Judas. Let's go with the 11. Right? Judas had 11 guys, and he told them, "Look, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to be with my Father." And they saw him hanging on the cross, and they saw him beaten. And in the garden, they all scattered. On this rock, I will build my church. He says, Peter. And they're all up there. They're like, Jesus is gone. What's going to happen to us? Who's going to lead us? Now we got a new guy. What's Peter going to be like? Is he going to change everything? How's he going to lead us? I get it. I get it. I understand. What's to become of us? And then God did something amazing at Pentecost, right? He sent his Spirit down and he empowered with them, and 5,000 came to Christ one day and 4,000 came the other day. Jails were opened up. People were healed. Churches were filling up. You see, Jesus died on the cross so that each one of us could have that same Spirit, not just to be saved. He died on the cross so that we could be filled with his Spirit, so that we could have purpose and we could be like Peter. Because see, he says, what God has given me, no one can pluck from our hands, so we don't have to live in any kind of fear because nothing can happen to us. Amen. He said, I also am making you priests. You may not be called to stand up here and preach, but every one of us is a priest in charge to proclaim the gospel. What does that mean? It means that the same Spirit that lived in Peter and John and Nathaniel lives in us. It means the same Spirit that descended on Jesus when he came up out of the water at his baptism lives in us. If that don't enough to get you excited, I don't know, man. It's the same Spirit. Book of Acts says this. It says in Acts 13:47, for the Lord has commanded us, saying, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. We can do this. Right now, though, God has brought us to the edge, and he's saying it's time for you guys to get ready. It means we have to take time to grieve, Mark. It's okay. We have to take time to remember. Remember our passage says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Do you know in the book of Joshua, Moses is mentioned over 50 times. He's not forgotten. He's remembered. But in Joshua, God chose a new leader. Charles Wesley says this. He says, God buries his worker, but his work goes on. When it comes to remember, the only thing that we need to focus on is what the Lord does in our lives and what the works of the Lord are for each one of us and in our body of Christ. Book of Psalms says this. It says, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. The Bible is like full of change. The book of Kings, change, change, change. Judges, change, 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 change. Some of them worked out great. Some of them not so great. But it was because of the ones that followed God and they got close to God and they drew near to him and they stayed close to him, that's what produced the incredible victories that we see. Oswald Sanders says this. He says, any work originated by God that is conducted on spiritual principles will surmount the shock of any kind of change of leadership and will probably result in something better. Jesus had saved hundreds of people. We know all of his miracles, right? We know about the lame man, and we know about the demon-possessed man, and we know about the guy who spit in his eyes, gave him the wet willy in his ears. We know all these stories. But have you listened to what Peter did? Peter got filled with the Spirit and walked outside and preached the message, and 5,000 people came to know Jesus. They arrested him. and they put him in jail, and the jail opened up. The guards were still there. He goes outside. He starts preaching in the temple again, and more people were saved. Did you know this about Peter? That the Bible tells us that Peter was such a great in healing people that they would line people up outside, and if his shadow touched him, they would have been healed. Jesus tells us, no, he goes, I have done great works, but we will do greater works. Well, that's just great, preacher. But what about me? Right? What about me? There are many in this room that are in a time of change right now. Amen? Maybe some of us have lost a loved one. Maybe a relationship has failed. Maybe we're wondering about what the future holds or how things are going to work out. Maybe we've had a life event or some circumstance in our life that has caused us to just rethink everything. And we're just sitting there trying to wrap our heads around what it all means. For those of us that are like that, if we put it into a biblical perspective, we can come up and say, every one of us is at the edge of the Jordan River, and God is preparing us to cross over. So remember the past. God has a plan for us to take possession of everything that's before us. But we remember the past. We just choose not to live in it. Second, I want to talk about preparations. The Bible said, prepare yourselves. Prepare yourselves. He says, now then, you and all these people get ready to cross over the Jordan River into the land that I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. Get ready. Go and get ready. You, Joshua, not just the people, you. So this message is not just about transition for all of us. It's also about us, me. You, Kevin, you go get ready. You, Ridgeview. You go get ready. Did you know this about Joshua? Did you know that Joshua had been prepared for birth? From birth, he had been prepared for this moment. You know how I know this? Go ahead, say it. The Bible says so. He didn't say it. Go ahead, say it one more time. The Bible says so. There you have it. Because the Bible says so. Listen. Joshua was born in Egypt, right? His name, his original name was Yeshua, when in Aramaic means salvation. Hosea. And in Aramaic, that meant salvation. And when Moses got a hold of him, he changed his name to Joshua. Did you know Joshua was the firstborn? So in Egypt, he would have been the one that died when the spirit of death rolled through with the last plague, except if it hadn't been for what? The blood of the Lamb. Amen. Amen. If it hadn't been for the blood of the Lamb, Joshua wouldn't even been around. But somebody put the blood of the Lamb on the doorpost, so Joshua was saved. And so his name, the Passover Lamb, saved Joshua. Do you know that when Aramaic transferred over to Hebrew, you know what the Hebrew word for salvation is? Jesus. Joshua and Jesus. Leading people into the promised land. God, a place that God had promised. Joshua was a servant to Moses. And now he was saying, you've served long enough. Now it's time for you to lead. You and all the people get ready. Valerie will tell you one of my favorite sayings is lack of planning on your part does not constitute an emergency on mine. Amen. In other words, don't die without a plan. The Bible says this, let everything be done properly and in an orderly way. It means we need to plan, we need to prepare. Prepare in Hebrew, the Hebrew word for prepare is, I can't even believe I'm gonna say this. Where's Joe? Is he not here? Thank you, Lord. Is halos kind of like halos? As in, ah, yeah. But what did George Halas do? He equipped them. He equipped them to, he prepared them to go to battle on the field. He prepared them to take possession of the end zone. That's what great coaches do. In the old text, in the context of our Bible, prepare says, arise, stand up. Stand up. Luke 14, 28 says, for which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost and whether he has enough to complete it? We have to plan. We have to prepare. I told you guys when you called me up here, I was going to be transparent. So I got a confession to make. I usually don't think things through all the way sometimes. Anybody else out here like that? Get a great plan in your head and then you just don't... You don't kind of do it right. My oldest son, I tried to build a bunk bed for him, and it was awesome. It was awesome, except it was so big I couldn't get it in his bedroom. I think I made it out of the heaviest lumber possible. And then we ended up cutting it in half. I spent like 6 weeks building this thing, ended up cutting it in half to get it in his room. What an epic failure. One of the challenges that we face as the individuals who are trying to witness to the community and as the church at whole is trying to understand and wrap our heads around such a rapidly changing culture. Amen. You can't even keep up with the changes that are happening so fast. And we have a hard time adapting this wonderful gospel message to it. So let me be clear. I'm not talking about changing our message. What I'm talking about is that we can't engage a 21st century culture with King James dialogue, right? We have to go out among them. We want to evangelize a group of people. We have to prepare ourselves. We have to learn about them. We have to go and visit, get inside them. We have to interact with them. We have to begin conversations to understand without condemnation and judgment, first and foremost. But family, we got to go talk to them. We got to find out what they believe. The Apostle Paul. These are kind of words that help shape me as a pastor. The Apostle Paul says he wanted to speak to the Jews. So he became a Jew. He wanted to speak to those under the law. So he considered himself under the law as well. But he said this. He said, to those not having the law, I became one like not having the law. He didn't forget his holiness. But he put himself in a place so that he could understand them and so that he could talk to them. 1 Corinthians 9:22 says this, it says, I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. And I do this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. But where does that leave us? It means we have to want to be equipped to go have those conversations. It means we have to be equipped means we have to prepare. We have to prepare. And then finally, Joshua says this. He says, go without fear. Go without fear. I will give you every place where you set foot, just as I promised to Moses. And so I have verse 4 in here. And this is the geography lessons. From the wilderness to Lebanon, as far as the great river, to the river Euphrates, to the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, towards going down to the sun, shall be your territory. So from over there to over there, from over there to over there, all this is yours. He said, no one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. I call Seattle home. But I love Florida. Can't get amen on Florida. Who don't like Florida? Anybody in here not like Florida? Never been? Florida, especially the Gulf side. I'm not a big fan of the Atlantic side. But the Gulf side, I'm a big fan of the Gulf side. Can I tell you about the ocean? The ocean at the Gulf of Mexico is warm. Pretty much all the time. Not like Seattle. You go to Ocean Shores or Long Beach up in Seattle and you get in the water, it's like 60 degrees. You literally turn, the blood freezes in your body. Not so in the Gulf of Mexico. Gulf of Mexico, you can just go, it's great. So, let me ask a question. How many of you guys are testers? That you walk up to the water and you see if it's worthy. Huh? How many testers? How about the waders? Those of you who wade in a little bit at a time until you get to point. Anybody waders? Who's waders? How many are adjusters that you'll... And you'll stand there for a couple hours. And you'll take another step down in. Until you get up to your waist. And then you don't go any farther, right? Am I right? Who's the adjusters? You're an adjuster? How many of you are just all in, man? You're just like, choo! Amen, man. Amen. That's not any different from Christianity. That's not any different from change. You see, because we will test out change to see if we like it. We might wade in, wait and see how it feels before we take the next step. Then there's always those like me that are just willing to just dive all in. See, it's just my opinion, but I know I'm right. See, the church ain't that much different. What would you think, family, what would you think what would happen if this church and each one of us had the same mindset that Joshua had? God said, I can have it. I'm going to go get it. What do you think would happen? I bet every one of these seats in this house would be full. Bet it with all my heart. Not that I'm a gambling man. Not that I don't do that. What if we listen to the promise of God? What if we listen to the promise of God that was given to us right there when he says, everywhere your place of your foot sets, I will give you. What if you walked out of your house and you walked into some place and you said, God, I'm here. Every place that I walk now is going to be given to me. Every person that stands in front of me, because you have led my feet here, you have given to me. Every person, every place. Are we not conquerors? What if we truly, truly believed in the promise that says, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life, because I was with Moses, so I will be with you. What if we trusted so completely that says, I will never leave you or forsake you? Don't that just make the hairs on the back of your neck stand up? For those that have hair. Think of all the possibilities. Think of the possibilities for Ridgeview. Think of the possibilities for ourselves. Think of the possibilities for our families. Think of all that we could accomplish for the kingdom if we just believed in the promises outlined in this verse. But somehow we get caught up in fear. We allow fear to overtake us. We become held back. Fear is a trap that's meant to stop us from moving forward. It's fear is what caused the Israelites to wander around for 40 years. Fear is causes the church to get in the situation it has. But listen to what the Bible tells us. Psalm 34. I sought the Lord and he answered me and he delivered me. He delivered me from my fears. Can we just get honest with each other? It's fear that stops us from doing what's right sometimes. It's fear of having somebody get angry at us. So instead of telling them the truth, we lie. It's the fear of judgment and ridicule. So we just go along trying to fit in. Jesus says, let not your hearts be troubled, or neither let them be afraid. God says, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by my name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you will not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. And he closes with this. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Boom. Tony, we're going to get into our time of response. If you want to come up and get everything ready for that. When Jesus came into this world, he came in to walk as we walked, and he came to experience everything that we do, right? We agree with this? And then he walked up to that cross, and he gave his life so that his spirit would be within us. The same spirit that helped him walk down the Via Dolorosa, carrying his cross, beaten, battered, mocked. That same spirit that gave him the courage to go through that gives us the courage to take the steps that God wants us to take. But the bottom line is, we can't walk until we kneel. We can't walk until we kneel. We can't put on the full armor of God until we come before the throne to receive it. As Tony gets ready I'm gonna come down at this altar and kneel. I'm gonna kneel before God, and I hope that you will join me kneeling and praying for our church, praying for each other. Praying for transformation, praying for transition. If you can't kneel, please at least come up here to the front rows and fill the front rows, and let's fill this altar up right now, going before the Lord.